Is China's Communist Party conducting Cold War against the United States and the West? The Chinese Communist Party's information war activities in the West, especially in the United States, can now be seen in stark relief against the backdrop of the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic. The Chi-Coms have an active disinformation campaign through several mainstream media outlets such as CNN, but they're also enlisting communist parties around the globe, including the Communist Party of America, to help them ensure China is not held accountable for its atrocious international behavior that worsened the outbreak. The CCP's active influence operations in this pandemic included getting the World Health Organization to put out an intentional disinformation message in mid-January 2020 that told the world the virus was not being transmitted by human-to-human contact, leading to most countries and their populations not considering active containment measures for several weeks, with the United States finally terminating travel from China at the end of January and other countries only following suit later. We've also seen CCP reporters attending daily White House press briefings while attempting to spread China's message that it acted appropriately in the initial outbreak, providing cover for its falsification of reporting and covering up of the disease as early as late November 2019. The Chinese have also implied threats to disrupting America's supply chain, where the USA relies on them for 90% of the materials for antibiotics manufacturing, among many other products. Even our academia has been infiltrated, highlighted by the recent arrest of a Harvard University biochemical professor who hid the millions of dollars in funding from China and his requirement to report to the CCP his work. Lest anyone think the Chi-Com effort is just peaceful maneuvering for economic advantage, the latest CNN trumpeting of their propaganda involves the heralding of the Chinese Navy's handling of the virus and its deployment of a carrier battle group in the Pacific, taking advantage of the strategic security situation caused by the virus's impact on two U.S. carriers that have been forced into port. We are in a time of peril, not only from the virus, but more so from the insidious and very extensive infiltration of the Chinese Communist Party into Western societies. My guest today is Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker from New Zealand. For more than 30 years, he's researched radical left, Marxist, and terrorist movements and their covert influence on mainstream politics. He is best known for his book, Enemies Within: Communists, Socialists, and Progressives in the U.S. Congress, and his similarly themed documentary film, Enemies Within. Trevor Loudon, welcome to the Rob Maida Show, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, look, always a pleasure to catch up, Rob. You're looking good, a little different from last time I saw you, but it's thanks very much for having me on.
Thanks for being with us today, especially to talk about this extremely important topic. I see the West and the United States, in my opinion, is beginning to be hit with the reality of what a lot of us in the national security and geopolitical community have been saying for a long time, and that is that China is in a cold war with us, from what it appears to, and the United States has not, to this point, taken a leadership role like it did in the Soviet Union Communist Party days. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Trevor. In general, you know, you've done a lot of work, decades of work on studying Communist Party activity, and I've seen a lot of your work, and you know, we've broken bread together and talked about, and I've listened to you talk about it, but in general, Communist Party activities, what are they up to when it comes to propaganda and information? Are they trying to change the world to communism?
Well, basically, in the long term, yes. But their number one goal Well, there's two or three goals right now. One is their main goal is the U.S. military, destroy the U.S. military so they don't have to fight them and risk losing. And so how do you destroy, how do you destroy the U.S. military? Well, Obama did a great job of that, and Trump was starting to rebuild it. But he was doing that on the back of a very strong economy. Yeah. Now the economy is not strong. So the pressure is going to come on to reduce military spending. The Chinese are deliberately using the coronavirus crisis and try to prolong it and cause as much panic as they can to bring the US economy to its knees, which A, stops President Trump being reelected, and most importantly, makes it impossible to rebuild the U.S. military. This is a military program that they're embarking on. That this whole propaganda push is directed at the U.S. military and destroying it so China can do what it likes.
Yeah, I mean, the coronavirus pandemic has brought it into very stark relief, much more starker terms, I think, for the average Westerner and average American citizen. So I hope that the leaders will come together and really start taking a hard look at this, because we have an opportunity here. And you see through the pandemic lens, you see the overtness of their propaganda and disinformation activities, all the way from implying threats to the supply chain for the medical community, because, you know, 90% of the materials we get for antibiotics comes out of China.
Isn't it great that people understand that now?
Yeah. But it's
who knew that, much more
than just economic advantage. And I think for a long time, most the average person thought it was economic advantage. And we just saw just this week, CNN is actually posting in their social media an actual Chinese Communist Party propaganda piece about their vaunted aircraft carrier and how the Navy is dealing with the coronavirus successfully, to contrast that with and take advantage of the two U.S. carriers that are now in port to deal with coronavirus infection and those kind of things. And it's definitely a stark change in the minds of people in the West is what I think is happening and going to happen. And that gets me to one of my questions for you is, do we expect them to ramp it up from a national security perspective and be much more aggressive, like with this carrier battle group deploying into the Pacific at this key moment?
Yeah, look, I do. I expect a lot more aggression out of the Chinese. They feel the balance of power is shifting in their direction. And we've got to realize, too, they are a military alliance with Russia. You know, they are in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is a military, political, and economic alliance with Russia, Iran, all the Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and whatever. India is an observer to that. Pakistan is involved in it. So is Afghanistan. So they have a Warsaw Pact going on. So we get in a fight with China. It won't just be with China. And so we're going to see a lot more aggression over Taiwan, the South Pacific, a lot more challenging, you know, America in the Pacific, because they have built such a huge network around the world now. They have got economic power in Africa, most of Latin America, much of Europe, and they have been subtly using their business and their gold reserves and their propaganda to alter the balance of power. And this coronavirus crisis has thrown that more into a bit of stark relief. But see, they've got nothing to lose now, because, see, the Taiwanese election went against China. The anti-communist candidate won. That was bad. Trump caned them on trade. That was bad. They had the Hong Kong stuff. So they are facing, they face three bad defeats. So they got to save face for themselves and rebuild their prestige in their own country, or they'll have a revolution on their own soil. So they got to go out to stop. They've got to project their power and be very aggressive now to basically build up support in their own country, but also to start shifting the balance of power in the Pacific, so people move their way.
Yeah, you've seen in a recent week that they've shifted. They were always kind of dampening the information inside of China to try to appear to minimize the impact on their population. But now they've really aggressively started trying to make it seem like it's much worse outside of China than anybody expected to be. And I think that goes hand in hand with the strategy of we've got to keep our people satisfied or we'll face a revolution, because I believe they will if the truth gets to enough of their...
Well, see, they're looking at, you know, 4 more years of Trump, you know, standing against us. Can we handle that? Will we survive that? I'm talking about the Communist Party. They their own survival is threatened. So they have to do something. Now, about 6 days ago, the Communist Party of China sent out a letter on their International Department website to 230 world communist parties, including the Communist Party USA, Communist Party of Australia, 3 communist parties in Britain, Philippines, Thailand, all over the world, right? South Africa. Mm-hmm. And the 4 main themes, and you'll see these in the media now. First, China's not to blame for this. This is not our fault. Second, China is leading the world in solving this problem. We are going out there. The world should be grateful to China for solving this problem. The third, socialized healthcare is the best way to deal with this kind of crisis. We're handling it in China because we have a socialized healthcare system. America's a mess because they don't. And the fourth thing is, Trump and America are to blame for all this stuff. This is their problem. They sent it to China. They're holding progress back. So they're rallying all the world's communist parties basically to amp this up and keep the panic going as long as they can and to blame it all on America. This is a massive international propaganda campaign, and that's exactly what you'll see on CNN and all the major news networks. Trump's a scumbag. Trump's to blame for this. He didn't get on top of this properly. It's all his fault. The economy, mm-hmm. We've got to keep this going for 18 months. You know, if he opens up the economy again, we've got to blame him for every grandma that dies between now and the election and put her on the front page. China's exemplary. China's okay. And this whole propaganda narrative is aimed to destroy Trump, prolong the agony for the economy, and destroy the economy, and basically, and so the Chinese will profit 2 ways. They got massive gold reserves. They'll do what they've just done to Italy, is bought up about 1/4 of the economy. They'll move in here and buy up stuff even more so than they have been doing at rock bottom prices, and they will scupper military spending in this country while they're building up their own like you wouldn't believe. And so the balance of power will shift very quickly if they can get away with this. They will be the dominant power and we will not.
Yeah, they're definitely taking advantage of the situation. And those activities, you see it every day in the daily White House press briefings from mainstream media outlets. And heck, the Communist Party's even got reporters in there.
Yeah.
They're disguised as outlets from maybe Taiwan or something.
Well, that woman recently who criticized Trump, her husband is a major Chinese lobbyist.
Yeah.
She works for a Chinese propaganda outfit. You know, so yes, the Chinese communist propaganda line is even being promoted in the White House press briefings.
Yeah, so Trevor, you know, in the Cold War with the Soviet Union, the West, led by the United States, created NATO and as the hedge against any Soviet aggression coming into Central and Western Europe. And of course, any attack on us. But we did that with the full force of government, using an all-government approach, because eventually, and it took several years, we got most folks on board in both political parties to realize that these folks were a danger and existential threat to the freedom and future of the United States of America and our Western allies. How does President Trump, or even leave Trump out of the picture, how do we in the United States figure that out with this situation? Because it's very different than the starting point of the Cold War with the Soviet Union.
And see, this is where I think the difference is. The Soviet Union built up a strong military and they opposed the United States. We fought proxy wars all across the world in Africa and Nicaragua and whatever. The Chinese have taken a different approach. They built up their economy before their military, mainly with American help, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so they used that money to buy up influence in the United States in the form of major business operations, but also a lot of political influence. See, look, you know, if you look at Trump's transportation secretary, Elaine Chao, she's the wife of, what's the speaker of the Senate, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Right. She has massive business ties to China. You've got a lot of Republicans with business ties to China. You've got a lot of Democrats with business ties to China. You know, Biden obviously being one of them, but by far not, you know, there are many of them. Dianne Feinstein and many others have made a lot of money trading with China. So they don't want to have a Chinese enemy. They want to keep the gravy train flowing. So that's our main problem here. If it was up to the American people, they'd be wanting China, not just flights closed down, they'd be wanting businesses repatriated, they'd be wanting a total isolation of China, because dealing with China is a bit like dealing with the mafia. You know, once they get their hooks into you, they are very insidious. And so we have got a constituency in both sides. And you see this even in groups like the Heritage Foundation, who are very invested, conservative groups who are very invested in maintaining the China trade, scenario. So that's the first thing we have to handle. I think President Trump has the power to basically order American businesses out of China. And trading with China right now and having businesses in China is a bit like trading with Nazi Germany in 1938. We should have learned a lesson from that. Trump should be saying, right, we're going to build our own stuff now. If we get in a war with China and they control most of our steel, are we going to put a requisition in for Chinese steel to build our tanks and airplanes? Or what are we going to do?
And that's the approach that the United States took and the Western allies took collectively with strategic industries and manufacturing and materials during the Cold War with the Soviet Union. Ultimately, when Ronald Reagan got into office, and I know there was political debate and a lot of opposition from both sides, from establishment on both sides when Reagan started taking the actions that ultimately forced the Soviet Union to dissolve.
Well, we have to have that end game scenario. We have to have as a goal, the Chinese Communist Party must be defeated. China, that we must do to China what we did to the Soviet Union, but only much more effectively and not take our foot off the when we thought we'd beaten them, because now you've got Putin, who's pretty much along the lines of an old Soviet dictator. So
massive strategic shift from the original proposals and ideas when Nixon and Kissinger opened up China to the West, right? I mean, it was hey, let's turn them into a capitalist and destroy the Communist Party that way, and then use them as a wedge against the Soviet Union, right?
I mean, that was we'll trade with them, they'll become more like us. We can play the Chinese off against the Soviets. It was a scam from start to finish. You know, Kissinger now is a major lobbyist for Communist China right now. He set up a group called the Committee of 100, the main Chinese influence operation in this country. You know, he's completely working on behalf of the Chinese. So he basically scammed America. So America exported huge amounts of its industry, its technology to China to turn a basically a feudalistic farming nation into a world superpower, something that could have never threatened us, that can now threaten Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, all of the Asia Pacific and the American continent. And also we could have some cheap stuff in Walmart. You know, and it has
cheap
not
TVs.
Sorry?
Cheap TVs we can get.
Cheap TVs. So you've gutted the Midwest, you've gutted the steel industry, you've gutted the manufacturing in America, and thank God that Trump's bringing it back. But you cannot defend your country without an industrial base. You cannot outsource your industrial production to your major enemy. There is no logic in that. You make billions of dollars trading with China, and then you spend trillions of dollars defending yourself from the monster you have created. So the mood in the country now is one to our disengagement with China. And Trump has got to seize the moment, and he's got to finish what the process he started and progressively disengage with China, repatriate businesses, tariffs, everything, complete crackdown on Chinese espionage in this country. I would cancel every Chinese student visa in the country, stop all future immigration from Red China, because they're bringing about 70,000 people a year who are getting American citizenship, plus thousands of birthright citizens. And any business that comes to this country and settles here is working for the Communist Party. It's working for the People's Liberation Army. You cannot get permission to set up overseas in China if you're not part of the government apparatus.
Absolutely right. It's always that way in a communist-run nation when they run the government. I mean, it's a state activity. It's a state activity, and it's time for the American people to wake up. You mentioned students, and it reminded me that, you know, they're even so embedded in academia. We had a Harvard biochemist professor arrested not long ago because he was secretly taking funding from the Chinese Communist Party government, and having to, as part of his pay, was reporting to whatever he was doing and into to the communist Chinese and hid it from the U.S. government.
I mean, so he's in a government-funded, taxpayer-funded U.S. organization developing technology, and he's giving it to the Chinese for a pittance. So he is basically stealing from the U.S. taxpayer. He's committing espionage, basically. But that's happening. There would be thousands of cases like that ongoing right now. So universities, they allow Chinese students to come here, which drives up tuition for everyone else. So American kids have to pay more. Those Chinese, American, at least 10% of them are working for a Chinese intelligence. So they're stealing technology, they're spreading influence, and we have to monitor them. Look, one trader can cost you a war or a battle. So we're making millions of dollars a year out of these Chinese students and losing billions of dollars worth of proprietary property, all the security that goes with that, all the potential damage that might go with it in a future military conflict that could cost thousands or whatever lives. So a few people can get a little bit richer. See, this is what the Chinese did. They had to come in here and prepare the ground for this subversion by buying up enough politicians to allow this to happen. You know, the Soviets wouldn't have been able to do this because they didn't have the money to buy up people, and they weren't allowed to send 70,000 communist Russians over here every year. They didn't have tens of thousands of communist Russian students in this country stealing our secrets every year. We would have lost the Cold War if we had done that. So the Chinese are smarter about it.
It's stunning when It must be stunning to the average citizen to come to these realizations just in the last few months with the starts that the coronavirus pandemic.
90% of our drugs come from what? 90% of our drugs come from China.
Exactly. And you know? Fentanyl, I know you've studied the overdose fatality problem with fentanyl, and almost all of that comes from China, even in the stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Yeah. See, the Chinese have been the major drug pushers in the world since the Vietnam War. They started the heroin problem with the US troops in Vietnam. That was a deliberate policy. The Chinese worked with the cartels, they worked with the Colombians. So in Vietnam, America lost 58,000 men over several years. Well, I think America lost 60,000 young people in the last year, mainly to fentanyl, which all comes from China. So we're trading with China while they're killing 60,000 of our young people every year and making money off it. And we are happy with that as long as we can get cheap toasters in Walmart. This is just absolutely insane. Everybody in this country knows a family who's suffered in some way through opiate abuse or had a death in the family or whatever. We all know somebody in our town or some cousin or somebody who works with who's had a drug overdose. Well, that's coming from China. And you tell me the Chinese police state doesn't know that this is happening. Mm-hmm. They know it because they're encouraging it. This is their military policy.
Yeah,
it makes them money and it weakens us and it creates a national security problem. It corrupts our society and they make a packet of money off it. What could be better for them?
Unbelievable, Trevor. Unbelievable. So if you were one of the advisors to the president, the current president, President Trump right now, in this situation, what would you be advising him as far as not getting out of the pandemic response, but how do we turn this into an opportunity to really get America and the West back on track to be able to hedge against these folks in the Chinese Communist Party?
Look, I would have a very frank State of the Union type talk with the American people. And I would say, look, the policy of this country has been for 20, 30 years is to engage heavily with China, send our industry to China. And yes, that's had some economic benefits. And I'm sure you've all appreciated that. But it's also created a military monster that we now have to guard against. It's created a government that is completely irresponsible at best with disease, which has now killed many of us and crippled our economy. Isn't it better to rebuild what I have said to do all along, rebuild American industry, put American workers first, and basically disengage with China? Are you with me? And I would guarantee you 70% of the American population would say, heck yeah, absolutely. But you got to make that case and lay it out that explicitly. I think the American people are ready for it. And here's another little thing I think President Trump should do. This is an idea. I believe in amnesty, okay? Not for immigration. There are at least 25,000 Chinese spies working in this country, according to some estimates. They're bought up politicians, they're in business, they're whatever. There are also lots of Russians, there are lots of Iranians, there are lots of Cubans, there are lots of other embedded foreign agents in this country and Native Americans who are collaborating with them out of coercion for money, out of ideology or whatever. Here's what President Trump should do, because we're never going to win if we allow that to continue. Okay, here's our amnesty. 3 months. Every foreign agent or foreign collaborator in this country not registered with the Foreign Agents Registration Act, not legally registered, you got 3 months to either register or turn yourself in. At the end of 3 months, you'll be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, promise. If in that 3 months you turn yourself in, you'll have the option of going on the witness protection program if you turn in everybody in your network. You imagine the freaking that would happen in China and Cuba and Russia. All their agents are confronted. Do I want to stay here? Do I want to stay in America and be an American? Or do I want to risk 20 years in jail? Or do I want to go back to North Korea or Russia or wherever I came from? What am I going to do? You that would throw their networks into absolute chaos because they wouldn't know who's turning and who isn't, who they can trust and who isn't. This is great incentive to turn yourself in and go into witness protection, or some of them may be held in place as long as they keep informing. So this would just absolutely destroy the Russian and Chinese and Iranian ability to influence our politics. And you would see a big wave of resignations from Congress and the Senate too, or people turning themselves in.
That's exactly the kind of innovative idea that we've got to get front and center. And fortunately, we do have Donald Trump and his America First policies. We're prescient. I'm with you. I think he should get in front of the American people and lay it out. Okay, folks, we've seen how bad things really are with the Chinese Communist Party, and we're going to have to step back and take an all-government approach, similar to what we did with the Soviet Union in the Cold War, build our defenses back up, build our manufacturing base back up. And we have to start right now, even before the pandemic problem is solved, and move forward. And I think that he would win re-election in a landslide.
Oh, look, the people would love him. And he just have to say, look, once we get over this corona thing, what's to stop the Chinese doing another one even worse tomorrow?
Yeah, you know? It'll be a different virus and require different technology, though. This one was ventilators, you know.
And this one might be like Ebola with a 60% fatality rate. So this is it. I think you're absolutely right, Rob. If he got up and said that to the American people, we are going full on American first. We're going to rebuild American industry. We're going to disengage from China. We're going to rebuild alliances with Taiwan and our proven allies. You know, and we are going to bring the industry back to this country. We're going to put Americans first. And I'll tell you what, when they seal the border so we don't have millions of illegal immigrants here, with a good American first industrial policy like that and no supply of illegal labor, the wages of American workers would go through the roof. And the technology and money that would pour into this country, the investment that would come into this country, both here from here and overseas, would be fantastic. Because, you know, when Obama was in power, nobody wanted to invest in a long-term business plan. So Trump gets elected and the checkbooks came open.
They did.
But right now, they're sort of sitting on the checkbooks because of the pandemic, but they're sitting on the checkbooks because what if he doesn't get reelected?
Yeah.
Am I going to build a multi-billion-dollar factory in Michigan knowing that the next president could be Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Andrew Cuomo? No, I don't think so. So we are in dire times right now, but with the right handling, I think Trump's got to just say, and I think he's going to make an announcement very soon, we've got to start reopening the economy soon.
Yeah.
We've got to put the money, think of all the money we've lost. For the money we have lost, we could have built a cocoon with their own ICU unit around every vulnerable person in the country. You know, put the money to protect the vulnerable, open the economy up, build up herd immunity, the virus goes away. Because if we just don't let that happen, we're just going to have this coming back every year.
Yeah.
The only way it can actually stop is when 80% of people have had it and the virus dies out naturally, like every other pandemic does.
Yeah, so you're not going to defeat it through measures and all that stuff. You're only going to delay it.
And we are destroying our economy. Well, think about the price for that. Okay, how many suicides? Actually, say this disease kills, they first said 200,000, now they're saying 60. Now it's probably going to be more like 30,000, 40,000 people. And I regret every one of those deaths. But that's what the flu kills every year. We don't do this for the flu. And think about what shutting down the economy does. How many suicides is that? How many destroyed businesses? How many broken marriages that lead to suicides and drug addiction and crime and other problems? How many people miss their cancer treatment? How many people can't afford proper medical treatment for other illnesses? All of these rebounding consequences. How many kids drop out of school that were almost ready to, you know, finish their education? All of these negative consequences, you cannot put a price on any of them. And I will guarantee you the actual loss of life from them will far outweigh the loss of life on the current course of action. And that doesn't even count getting into a shooting war with China, which is their ultimate aim of this whole exercise. So I think it's a no-brainer. I understand Trump's problem because he knows if he takes all the controls off straight away, every grandma who dies is going to be on the front page of the newspaper between now and the election. And you can understand that, but the left will use that. And Trump's in a pretty invidious position. But he knows we can't go on much longer doing this, and he ought to know this whole thing has been driven and the panic has been driven by the Chinese and to a degree the Russians to prolong this as long as they possibly can to wreck this economy and wreck any chance of recovering the military to the point we can actually deter a war or defeat the Chinese if we had to fight them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. It's such a complex, convoluted, and conflated situation because of what we've done and what the West has done with China, as opposed to how we did it with the Soviet Union and the Soviet Union's weak economy. So now, I think the president, you know, to even go one step further than what you and I have said, do your opening back up speech from the Congress and lay out a new presidential national security decision directive that that takes the same approach that we did against the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact and get America and the West back to being able to rely on itself. And you have the momentum to do that, and you will have the funding to do that because the American people are with them and they're seeing their freedoms dissolve around them every day.
Absolutely, we're going to rebuild the economy and we're going to defeat the Chinese Communist Party without firing a shot. Are you on board with that? I think a lot of people would be, you know.
Absolutely.
America for America, we want the Chinese people to recover their freedom. They're not going to recover their freedom while we subsidize the Chinese Communist Party by allowing them to steal our stuff. And they've got to the point now they're a major threat to our national security in many fronts. And if this pandemic hasn't shown you that, I think that message would resonate very, very, very deeply with the American people.
I agree. And thank you so much, Trevor, for coming on the Rob Manis Show. Please tell folks how they can find your content and pitch some of your content that's out there right now. And we appreciate you so much coming on and helping educate.
Oh, look, it's a real pleasure, Rob. And, you know, being a military guy and security guy, it's great to have the questions from that realm. But my daily blog, my website is trevorloudon.com, and the Loudon is Loudon, so trevorloudon.com. I've got a whole range of books there you can see for sale, etc. My latest, well, there's two that you really must see. One is the movie Enemies Within, and that has had, you can get on Amazon Prime too, that's had over 2 million views on Amazon Prime. We basically say there's 100 members of the U.S. House and 20 members of the U.S. Senate who couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus. But there are no background checks in Congress or a Senate, which is why the Iranians and the Chinese can so easily buy our the congressmen and senators, which is why we have all these crazy trade deals with China, and it's why we have a nuclear deal with Iran, etc., because of traitors in our own government. Now, that's Enemies Within on trevorlouden.com, and my latest book is White House Reds, Communists, Socialists, and Security Risks Running for U.S. President 2020. Just come out on my book, I show that 10 of the leading Democratic contenders, including Joe Biden, including obviously Bernie, but also Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Steyer, all come from Marxist backgrounds. They were all Marxists. It didn't matter which one won, you were going to get a Marxist president. So it gives profiles. 10 of these people, their extensive Marxist backgrounds, their ties to Iran, their ties to China, their ties to local communists. And these are the leading Democrat contenders. These are people you saw on TV every night for the last few months. You know, Donald Trump Jr. said on Fox and Friends in May, he said the 2020 election will be communism versus freedom. Now, he got a bit of pushback for that. But if you read that book, White House Reds, you will see that he was 100% correct.
I believe he's correct. I haven't had a chance to read the book yet, but I look forward to it, Trevor. And again, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you and your family very well as we get through this. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rob Manis Show. If you really want to know what the experts with experience, decades of it, think about what's happening with the Chinese Communist Party, you got to watch this episode. I'll see you next time on the show.